Welcome to Sunday Talks from Center for Spiritual Living Minneapolis. Each week, we share practical New Thought wisdom to support spiritual growth, healing, and inspired living. Our July 2026 theme is Whole No Matter What. This month, we remember that wholeness is not something we have to chase, earn, or become worthy of. It is already the truth of who we are. As Ernest Holmes reminds us, there is something within each one of us that partakes of the universal wholeness, and nothing can change the true nature of the soul. Reverend Debbie's talk today is, Who I Am Reflects How I Am. Who we are on the inside reflects how we express ourselves on the outside. The more we can uncover our parts, remove our masks, and be authentically ourselves, the more we are able to see the divine in everyone we meet. What would my life be like if I was authentically myself in every relationship? And now, here's Reverend Debbie.
Okay, it's me again. Okay, yeah, you know, what can I say? So, have you noticed one of the most stressful sentences in the American language, in the English language, is when someone says, okay, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves. You know how that kind of like puts a little panic, like, oh, what am I going to say? It's like intimidating. I don't know why, but it is. Because we usually always say the same thing, right? Maybe we switched up a little bit considering what the audience is. But for me, I start thinking, okay, so there's like 14 people in the room and I'm the next number of people away from the woman who just asked that question. So I got some time to figure this out. So I'm just going to like see what everybody else has to say. Right? Come on, you're with me, right? And then somebody gets up and says, hey, I'm Susan, and I train rescue dogs. I run marathons. I just got back from climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and I'm putting together a video about it. And you're like, dang. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm Debbie, and yesterday I got kind of excited because my tomatoes are getting really big, right? It's like, you can't win. You just can't win. But it's amazing how we decide to start, what version of ourselves are we going to introduce, right? Like, okay, who do I want to be today? And that's so freeing to be able to do that. And it's even more freeing when it aligns with our inner self. And we get to feel really comfortable with all of our colors. And we get to decide which color is going to shine the brightest today because of how we're feeling. We're not being dishonest, we're actually being human, right? Because we all start off with being assigned our roles, right? From like being the oldest, I mean, the list goes on, right? So we start to think about what our roles are. Am I the responsible one or not? Am I the smart one, the cynical one? Am I the overachiever? Am I the underachiever? And am I the one that always asks for help or never asks for help? And our families and our friends kind of help us figure out what role we're supposed to fit in until it doesn't fit anymore. Because at some point, it doesn't fit. At some point, we want our role on the outside to align with our role in the inside. But our roles are never the whole story. It's never the whole story. We are so much more than our roles or our successes or our labels. We're more than our failures. We're like divine expressions of the One. Think about that. We, each of us, in our own unique way, is allowing the One, whatever you call it, to experience its creation as we are experiencing our life. It is so incredible. We are whole, we are worthy, we are enough. We have everything we need to do anything we want to do, despite any appearances. So Holmes tells us that our spiritual work isn't to become new, isn't to become whole. It's to remember who we are. He says, We all seek to become whole. Our apparent unwholeness is not understanding that part of us is already whole. And our search for it is the fact that something is telling us that it's there. We're not broken. We don't need to be fixed. We have just forgotten our wholeness. We haven't courted it. We haven't given thanks for it. We haven't acknowledged it. Because something that's always calling on us, that's our soul, that's our true nature, that's our divine expression, that's our uniqueness, is saying, come on, get on board, let's do this. It keeps telling us this isn't all that you are so much more than anybody has ever given you credit for. Every time we have a longing to be more authentic, a desire to be more honest, a need to have a greater understanding of the truth, that's evidence. Not that we're failing, it's evidence that we're being called home and we're starting to say yes. You see, when we start, at least when I started my spiritual journey, and most of us, I think, grew up with this knowledge that, you know, if I pray enough, if I go to church enough, if I read enough self-help books, if I stop eating ice cream at 10 o'clock, all of that is going to make me a better person and God is going to want me. But that's all backwards, I think. God, Spirit, it is already saying, yes, my beloved, is already saying, let's go. Like, let's really go. And it's about us peeling back our layers so we can go out and play, so we can show up. Now, I'm not saying there isn't always room for self-improvement and expansion and going deeper and wider. There is. That's the one thing we know about life, right? There's always more to learn, to enjoy, to express. It's a key part of our journey, but I think an even better part of our journey is when we start every day by acknowledging, I'm a divine expression. I get to uniquely decide how I'm going to suit up and show up today and how I'm going to be more loving and more joyful and more kind and more respectful and more understanding and more and more and more and more. Last week, Reverend Joanne reminded us of one of the most freeing ideas, and that is the idea that there are no parts. There are no parts that are bad. All parts are good, and they all serve a purpose. So, what if we stopped trying to get rid of the anxious parts, the angry parts, the perfectionist part, the people-pleasing part, that scared little kid part? What if we stopped trying to get rid of it because they're not problems? They are how we help ourselves survive, right? It's part of our survival technique. Maybe the perfectionist developed so the mistakes you made were less. Maybe the people pleaser allows us to kind of like stay happier and safer with everybody else around us. Maybe the sarcastic part, and I think we all have one, some of us have more than we should, maybe that part is to help us learn to make people laugh so they can open up to be more themselves. The parts aren't the problem. They're not the problem. The problem becomes is when we let one of those parts take the steering wheel and start controlling our life. That's when it becomes a problem. See, in science of mind, we always point to something deeper. Every fear, every habit, every personality trait that we have is an expression of God. Every one of them. Everything else, everything outside of that divine expression of love and peace and joy, the rest of it's all just survival techniques that we've learned. And sometimes we rely on them too much. So today, I want to look at, our title today is Who I Am Reflects How I Am. And I think that's kind of inspiring and it's kind of uncomfortable. So I want to take a look at 3 points. Relationships are mirrors and serve as spiritual teachers if we are willing. God is on the street corner, so let's bless it all. And when we are authentic, real growth and real connection can happen. So let's start with relationships because it's the one thing we can't avoid in life, no matter what. And it's something that we're always working on. I mean, you think you become patient until the person in front of you at the 15 or less aisle has like 20 some items, right? And you think you've mastered forgiveness, but then your brother reminds you of a situation way back when. And you think you've let go of other people's approval until nobody makes a comment, right? I mean, we think we've done that. See, but what's important for us to remember is that our relationships don't create our reactions. What they do is our relationships reveals our reactions. It reveals, it shines a light on where we need to put some attention. Richard Rohr wrote, "If we do not transform our pain, we will almost certainly transmit it." Think about it. Most of the time when someone is difficult, we kind of give them a pass, right? We kind of think, all right, well, they're carrying around some fear or some stress or some old stories. You know, it really, they're carrying around some disappointment. And so we're going to give them a little bit more rope. But the same is true for ourselves. Because often, how I see you says more about how I'm feeling about me than how I'm really feeling about you. If I'm constantly judging myself, more than likely I'm going to be judging other people quickly and effectively, I would like to add, because that's important. But if I'm constantly extending myself grace, I'm more likely to extend grace to everyone I'm talking to. Who I am really reflects how I am on the inside. So the opportunity is to become more aware of how we're reacting to others in our relationships. And not to run away from the difficult ones, but just to become even more aware of how we are reacting. Because then that reacting, we get to ask ourselves, the way I reacted, how does that align with my self-talk? And how does that self-talk align with my self-love? Because it's part of the whole package. When we become more self-aware, more self-compassionate, more self-loving, more self-respectful, we get to become all of that when we react. And the moment that we recognize that our reaction to someone has nothing to do with them, it has everything to do with ourselves, well, then we take our power back. We don't have to wait for somebody else to change. We get to instead change within and allow ourselves to self-correct. I don't have to wait for anybody else for me to feel more peaceful, more loving, and more joyful. I just get to do that all on my own. So, Speaking of relationships, here's a quote from Ernest Holmes that I absolutely love. When we talk to each other, we are talking to God. We cannot have God in the chamber of prayer and not on the street corner. Don't you love it? We can't choose. If we believe that there is just one power, and that one power is everywhere, all of the time, then me talking to myself, me talking to you, me acknowledging a stranger, all of that is talking to an individualized expression, some more unique than others, of the one. Every conversation, every interaction, every encounter, every stranger, all of it, it's all unique expressions of the one. And if one really believed that, here's the question, right? If you really, really believed that, how would you speak differently? How would you listen differently? How would you become less judgmental and more curious? Instead of asking, okay, what was wrong with that person? What if we just said, whatever mess that needs to be blessed, I'm going to bless that mess that is creating this undesirable expression, in my opinion. I don't have to judge it. I just have to say, I get messed up every now and then. I can bless my mess. I can bless everybody else's mess, too. That blessing, it changes us, right? When we come from a place of blessing a mess, we're elevating our frequency, our vibration, to that of a blessing, which is elevating everyone in our sphere of influence, including the mess. How simple is that? To just bless whatever the mess is without naming it, without judging it, and just allowing it to be. So, if who I am reflects how I am, then the question becomes, who am I choosing to be? Right? Because we're always at choice. I get to choose if I want to show up, what color I want to show up, what I want to put forward, what I want to give out, what my vibration is. I get to choose if I'm ready to be authentic or if I need to put on one of those masks because I'm not quite feeling safe. Because that's the difference, right? A mask is like, I'm not really feeling safe, so I'm going to figure out what role to play. It's a sincere role, but it's a role, right? But when I'm willing to be authentic, then it's like, how does my true self, my love and my joy and my peace show up? And when we're authentic, then our outer life gets to align with our inner truth. And the more we align with our inner truth, the more we're willing to relate to that inner truth, to acknowledge it, to listen to it. Prentice Hempfrom, authenticity is the root of vulnerability, of intimacy, of relationship. And when we take off our mask, we invite others to do the same. And I love that idea. Because somebody's got to start the party, right? Somebody's got to, like, get it going. Real relationships begin, I believe, when we're not trying to impress each other, but when we're just being ourselves with each other, all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's what I liked about today's reading, that idea that it's all okay, and yet we can let go of those things that aren't working for us anymore. We can be grateful and still be willing to move beyond. It's absolutely okay for me to say, I've got really no idea what I'm doing. Because in truth, I'm not doing it alone, right? I'm doing it in divine partnership with God, and God's everywhere and knows everything. Sure in the heck it's going to suit up and show up and help. It's okay for me to acknowledge that I'm not fine, but to still go out there and do that one thing that's intimidating me. It's okay for me to ask for help when I need help. Because I've got this divine direction. I got this divine guidance system telling me it's safe for you to ask for help, and this is the way you do it, and this is who or whose you do it with. It all kind of comes down to being vulnerable in the right places. So one person who's helped many people, millions of people, understand it's okay to be vulnerable is Brené Brown, right? I mean, amazing what this woman has written and talked and talked about and allowed us to be okay with. But here's something you may not know about Brené Brown. Long before she became famous, she was asked to do a TED Talk. And she almost didn't do it. She showed up, but she was not. She was ready. She had car keys in hand. She was ready to not do it. Can you imagine that? The woman who taught all of us how to be courageous and vulnerable was so afraid of how she was going to be received at a TED Talk. And it almost convinced her to stay silent with her truth. But she gathered the courage and she did it. And later she said, authenticity is a daily practice of letting it go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. She called it a practice, a daily practice. I love that idea. Every day we have an opportunity to tell a little bit more truth, to be a little bit more honest, to be a little bit more forthcoming, a little less performing and a lot more belonging and curious. Not because we're looking for approval or applause anymore, we're just looking to belong. Isn't that why we join here in community? It's that sense of belonging, that idea that we can gather under the truth of our oneness and just be who we're here to be, whether it's a good day or a bad day. Because here's the beautiful thing about authenticity and about oneness. It's always contagious. And I know you've experienced that. Like, when one person is really honest and says, I'm actually not doing that great today, but it's going to get better, it gives you a little bit of more of an opportunity to say, you know, I didn't sleep that well last night either. If one person says, you know, I'm kind of having a hard time with this, people kind of jump on board to help or become willing to listen. When someone says, I don't have all the answers, and I didn't climb Mount Kilimanjaro, all of a sudden everything is like, okay, it's all right to be happy about tomatoes that aren't even red yet, right? I mean, it just sort of, it allows a space for healing to happen. And each of us gets to choose if we're willing to open up that space for ourselves, but more importantly, for others. Like maybe to be the first to admit something or apologize for something instead of waiting for someone else to do it. It's really, truly that simple. So, here are my three invitations for you this week. First, relationships, they're just mirrors. So, take those relationships, even the difficult ones, and appreciate them and bless them. Second, how does the day change if we remember that God is on the street corner, that person we do not know? or that person we don't agree with, or that person who has different views than we have. It's just a unique expression of the One. And finally, we're all just perfect humans trying to work it all out, right? We all are. So let's stop trying to survive and let's start thriving by suiting up and showing up as authentically as we can, where it's safe, of course. So you ready for an assignment this week? Here we go. Think of one person, one relationship that you don't really care about, how you are showing up for it. Each day, take a moment. Yeah, you got it up there, thank you. Each day, take a moment and ask yourself three questions. What is this relationship revealing about me? About myself? And can I see that divine in that person? And if I can't, am I willing to bless the mess that's standing between me and seeing that divinity? And then the most important question, what would it look like if I showed up with this person as more of my true self instead of, or even a different mask than what I've been wearing before? It's all about taking one small step, right? If we just take one small step to be a little bit more compassionate, to listen a little bit deeper, to extend a little bit more grace, to just choose compassion over judgment and love over fear.